भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नारायणं नमस्कृत्य फ्रॉम द सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट 15 केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायणः अघं दुन्वन्ति कार्त्स्नेन निहारमिव भास्करः सपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can completely dissipate fog by its rays. Purport. In the previous verse, Shukdev Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but who has no taste for devotional service, there is no possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shreya Shritim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdhe. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful life and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service, are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatracha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity, as an eternal servant of Krishna, has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, relieves one from the reactions of all activities. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru Shukdev Goswami concerning Karma Kand and Jnana Kand could not satisfy him. Therefore, Shukdev Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word Kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Manushyanam sahasrishu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vetti tattvatah. Out of many thousands of among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayan. This is ignorance. To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navritam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is kleshagni, shubhada, which means if one takes to devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful That is, it is also said to be moksha laguta krit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions are divided into three categories: pataka, mahapataka, and atipataka. And also in two divisions, prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha refers to sinful reactions from which one is suffering at the present, and aprarabdha refers to sources of potential suffering. When the seeds of sinful reactions have not yet fructified, the reactions are called aprarabdha. These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace when they were first planted. Because of prarabdha, sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aprarabdha and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna tells Uddhav, 11th canto, Yathagni susamriddharchihi kuroti edhamsi bhasmasat tatha mad vishaya bhaktir Uddhavayanam Shri Krishna Shaha. My dear Uddhav, devotional services in relationship with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, in a verse spoken during Lord Kapila's instruction to his mother. Yannamadheya shravananu kirtanad yat prahanad yat smaranad api kvachit svadopi sadhyah savanaya kalpate kutha punaste bhagavant darshanad. My dear Lord, even if a person born in a family of dog eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects to you and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a Brahman and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In the Padma Puran, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all reactions of sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately. Some are in the form of seeds. Some are unmanifested and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions, santata, kadachitki, service performed with slight attachment, and spontaneous devotional service. Intermittent devotional service is kadachitki, may be divided into three categories, raga bhasmai and raga bhasam shunya swarupa bhuta. Devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving, and abhas rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschita, atonement, are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachitki. Even in the stage of abhas rupa bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word karsnena means that one, even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of that desire are vanquished merely by abhas rupa bhakti. The example of Bhaskar, the sun, is most appropriate. The abhas feature of bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with a devotional service, all the fog of his sinful life is immediately vanquished. So I beg the blessings of all the devotees, all the senior Vaishnavas who are far more qualified spiritually and materially to bless me so that I can render this service of speaking something from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not qualified, but for my own purification, I will be doing the service. So it's a very long purport, and Srila Prabhupada has given a very scholarly narrations and taken a lot of verses from various sources to prove that how kevala bhakti, unalloyed devotional service only can rid a person of all the sinful reactions, and not just the sinful reactions, but also the propensity to perform sin, which is actually most important. So, it's a very wonderful purport. So, I will use some of the points to illustrate with stories as to how kevala bhakti is so important and how it is so powerful in eradicating the propensity to commit sinful activities. So, Prabhupada says that, he quotes this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shreya Shritim Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Klishyantye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding, he says, of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, their results that they get are temporary. They undergo great labor, but still their results that they get, the purification that it takes place, is temporary. We can see that in the pastime of Vishwamitra and Vashishtha. Vishwamitra, he approaches to the ashram of Vashishtha and he's cordially welcomed. And he says, please come and please have something to eat and drink. So he was cordially welcomed. So Vishwamitra was actually, he said, no, I'm on my way to some other place. So he was along with his 100 sons. So Vashishtha said, no, you must sit and you must take something. So Vishwamitra agreed. So Vashishtha was serving him. So we read the pastime that Vashishtha he was a Brahmin performing austerities, reading Shastras. And he had a cow whose name was Sabal. And that was a wish-fulfilling cow. So he told the... Vishwamitra was not expecting a good reception, but he told Sabal that, please, give whatever is necessary for the reception of our guests. And immediately Sabal, from his udder, produced wonderful varieties of dishes and all the kinds of drinks. Everything was immediately created. And Vishwamitra was shocked. He was not expecting such a wonderful reception. So immediately within his heart arose envy. He was very polite initially, but then he became very envious. How come this poor Brahman is able to receive a guest so wonderfully? So he got this idea that this person is far more powerful than me. I want to get this cow because that is the cause of his powers. So he asked Vashishtha, you please give me that cow. Vashishtha said, how can I give you this cow? Because this is used for my yajna. I use it for doing yajna, that's my dharma, I cannot give you this cow. So he becomes very greedy. He falls down from his position of kshatriya, which is to protect the citizens. So what he does, he starts dragging the cow, and Vashishtha says, what are you doing? Please don't do that. You are not fulfilling. And he starts preaching to him about what is the dharma of a kshatriya. But because of his greed, he was overcome by lust. He wanted to enjoy the property of the Brahman. So he takes. So Vashishtha was helpless because he was Brahman. He couldn't fight. So he was practicing the principle of forgiveness. He just stood there. He didn't do anything. Seeing this, Sabal, who was a cow, who was very much loyal and faithful to Vashishta, he spoke out. She spoke out and said, "What is this? Why are you sitting quietly? Have you forsaken me? Have you abandoned me?" So Vashishta said, "I have not abandoned you. I am just following my dharma. I am a Brahmin. And one of the topmost principles, one of the most essential principles of a Brahmin is forgiveness. He is a Kshatriya. He is fulfilling his dharma. He can use his force to get his desires fulfilled. But I am a Brahmin. I cannot give up my dharma." So he said, "But what about me? You should at least give me one order that you stay. That's all. I will take care of myself." So Vashishta says, "Okay, stay." And just as soon as he said stay, immediately from the udder of Sabal came huge armies of soldiers and elephants and horses, and a huge powerful force was created, and they fought against Vishwamitra and defeated all his sons. Everyone were burned to ashes except for one son. That's all that was left. And Vishwamitra was shocked. Again he was defeated. And he was thinking, "What is this? This Brahmin is more powerful than me. I will do tapasya. I will also become very powerful." So he goes and goes for the Karmakand section of the Vedas. He goes to do tapasya and please Lord Shiva. And he does tapasya for many, many years. And Lord Shiva appears to him. And he says, "I'm very pleased by you. So please tell me, what do you want?" So he says, "I have mastered the art of all the weapons, but only earthly weapons. You please give me the art of using celestial weapons, because that is something I don't have." So Lord Shiva became pleased. He said, "Take it, have it, tathastu, be pleased." He said, "But what about your astra, your personal weapon, and also the brahmastra? I want that also." So Lord Shiva grants him Brahmastra and the Pashupat Astra also. So he becomes very powerful. So now to take revenge, he comes back. He comes to the ashram of Vashishta and he starts attacking and harassing all the Brahmins doing tapasya in the forest. And all the Brahmins are running for their lives. And Vashishta comes to know what has happened. So immediately comes out. And he says, "You fallen Kshatriya, you have fallen down from a standard. You are not doing your duties properly. Just see now the power of a Brahman." And he raises his staff, the Brahman staff. And immediately all the weapons released by Vishwamitra immediately get absorbed in that staff, including the Pashupatastra and the Brahmastra also. And Vishwamitra is shocked. He's not knowing what is happening. He is convinced that I cannot defeat this Brahman. The power of a Kshatriya is insignificant as compared to the power of this Brahman. So he thinks, I should become a Brahman. So this is again a product of envy. Therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that it is better to do one's own duty properly or improperly, whatever may be the case, but do your duty, rather than doing others' duty perfectly. Because Krishna knows envy is a very important factor by which one may try to imitate. So he thinks, let me become a Brahmin. So he goes to the forest and performs tapasya. Tapasya, he's performing tapasya and for many hundreds of years, thousands of years. But in the meanwhile, Indra becomes a little insecure. He starts thinking that this Vishwamitra is becoming so powerful, I think I should do something to bring him down, otherwise he will take my position. So again, now this is material obsession. So that's the nature of material obsession, is one is always insecure. What will happen? someone is becoming more powerful. I should pull him down. So this is another symptom of envy and material obsession. So Indra, he sends Menaka, an apsara. So Vishwamitra, he sees Menaka, he becomes so obsessed that he gives up his austerity and falls down from his position. And he enjoys with her for 100 years. And later on he realizes that, oh, I have fallen down from my position. And he realizes that this is the work of Indra. So Menaka becomes very conscious. She comes to know that Vishwamitra has actually come to know. So she becomes very afraid. But Vishwamitra says, don't worry. I'm not going to do anything for you, but I'm going to take a lifelong vow of celibacy. So he comes back and he now starts performing austerity, celibacy, and performs tapasya. So while performing tapasya, again, after some time, you know, there's a story of how during that time, Vasishtha had acquired the position of priesthood in Lord Ram's kingdom. So there was a sage called Trishanku. He goes to Vishwamitra during that time. And he says, Vishwamitra, that you please, you know, send me, you know, to the heavens. I want to go to heavens. So he was another example of a person who rejected Karma Kanda also, because that is an authorized process of going to heaven. He said, I want to directly go to heaven without following the process given in the Shastras. So Vishwamitra says, how can I send you? It's not possible. So he says, you see, Vasishtha also said the same thing. So he said, Vasishtha said the same thing? He's my enemy. So he was very envious. So he said, if Vasishtha told that he cannot send you to heaven, I will send you to heaven. Don't worry, I am powerful. So he goes to Vishwamitra. He knows. So Vishwamitra, by his powers which he had accumulated, by his tapasya, he sent Vishwamitra directly with the selfsame body to heaven. And while Trishanku was going, while Trishanku was ascending to heaven, Indra sees, what is this person? He's coming with his dirty, ugly body to heaven. This is no place for him. Get lost! And he throws his thunderbolt and sends them crashing down towards the earth. And Trishanku is coming with full speed, like a jet, entering into the entering into the earth's environment. And he's crying out and he shouts and he calls out to Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra, save me, save me. And Vishwamitra sees, oh, he's coming down. How dare Indra do this to me? Doesn't he respect my authority? So he says, don't worry. If Indra is not allowing you in heaven, I will create my own heaven in between earth and the Swarga. And he starts creating. And because of that, there's universal unsteadiness, disturbance. And all the demigods meet with Brahma and they say, what is happening? What is going on here? They're not respecting your authority here. So Brahma says, never mind. Since it has been the desire of this great person, we will create another heaven between the two between the heaven and the earth. Therefore, Trishanku has another planet which was created between the heavens and the earth. But now Vishwamitra, he realizes that he has again lost all his powers and strength. Now he thinks, I should again do tapasya. So again, Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, performing tapasya, becomes very powerful. But again, Indra becomes envious. Now he thinks, again I should drop him down. So again he sends Rambha, another apsara. But this time Vishwamitra is very intelligent. He thinks, last time I fell to Menaka, now I should not fall down. I fell down to lust, now I should not fall down to lust. So now he falls down to anger. He becomes angry that this lady has come to drop me from my sadhana. So he curses her to become a stone. Again, when he curses, he loses his power of austerities. And then he realizes, oh, what have I done? Then again he performs tapasya. And then after his tapasya, Brahma, he comes down, all the demigods, they meet and approach Brahma saying that, see, he's performing so much of tapasya, and because of that tapasya is causing this universal disturbances. You please grant him the position of being a Brahman. And then Brahma comes and blesses him that, okay, you have become a Brahman equal to the position of Vasishtha. So henceforth onwards, you acquire that position. So we see that, as Prabhupada says here, Shreyam, Shreya Shritim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibhu Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye, that the speculators and the Karmakandi people, they work so hard, they put so much of labor to acquire some position within this material world, acquire higher levels of piety only to lose it in due course of time. Either they exhaust all their pious credits and come down again back to this earthly planet, or they again succumb to sinful actions, as we see in the case of Vishwamitra. Every time he would practice, he would work very hard, again he would fall down. Work hard, fall down. Work hard, fall down. And in this practice, there's always a temptation to become proud. The tendency of any other practice but pure devotional service is there's a tendency to become proud. Therefore, pure devotional service is always a most favorable option, the best option to choose. So therefore, Prabhupada writes, they are prone to material activities. They fall down and become implicated in desires for material enjoyment. However, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. And he quotes, bhakti pareshanubhava virakti. That one then performs bhakti automatically. He quotes Anyatra Chaisha Tri Ek Kala. He gives an example of eating, that when one eats, one feels satisfaction, one feels one's hunger is mitigated, and one feels energized. So similarly, he says there are three things that one gets. One gets realization, one gets to perceive the Lord directly, and one gets properly nourished. One does not feel the need to again engage in sinful activities. So what is the principle that devotional service is able to purify the living entity so wonderfully? What is the principle? The principle is that the devotional service situates the living entity in his constitutional position of being the servant of Krishna. He gets that understanding, he gets that realization, that I am not the enjoyer. The problem in Karmakand, or the problem in, you know, Gyan, is that this understanding is not there. In Karmakand, a living entity is thinking, let me enjoy. Either here or there, up in the heavens. In Gyan, he is aspiring for liberation. He wants to become free from the sufferings of this world. He understands that I am the soul, I've got nothing to do with this body. That is the understanding. He sees the difference between the spirit and the matter. That is Gyan. So with this understanding, there's always a tendency again to go back into sinful actions, because he's not situated in his constitutional position. And only bhakti actually situates him in that position of not being the enjoyer but being the servant of Krishna. Therefore, when one takes up to devotional service, he at every point of time remembers that I am not the enjoyer. I am not the enjoyer. It is actually I am just the servant. So therefore, he never falls down from his position. So this process of bhakti, Prabhupada says, devotional service to Krishna, releases one from the reactions of all activities. But what is this devotional service? Devotional service means to do what Krishna wants you to do. That is devotional service. Like there is an example. Like one person, he comes to the temple, comes to ISKCON temple, he meets one president, and temple president tells him, yes, Prabhu, what can I do for you? So he says, Prabhu, I want to do some service for the temple. Okay, what service can you do? He says, you know, I'm into a bag making business, I can make some Sankirtan bags for you. Okay, very good. So, you know, you can You can go to the accounts office, take some money, go make some Sankirtan bags. Come after 1 month, no problem. So he goes, makes Sankirtan bags. Sankirtan bags are bags where you can take these books, book distribution. So he comes back after a month and he tells, Prabhu, here, I made these bags. So the temple president, he was Purnachandra Prabhu, he was saying, okay, very good, please, thank you very much. He takes the bag and he says, thank you very much for your services. And after he renders the service, that man disappears. 1 month he never comes back. And his devotee is thinking, where is he gone? He did so much a valuable service. Then devotees told him, you know, Prabhu, that man, he felt very bad. He said, why? Because you told him to do seva, but you didn't give him proper remuneration. So he was thinking, I'm sorry, actually, I didn't do that on purpose, because I was so used to dealing with brahmacharis where we keep giving services, but we never pay them for it. So I thought this person also expects the same thing. So because I was so conditioned, so then he calls him up and, you know, settles it. Don't worry, we'll give you some commission. So this is an example of sakam karma bhakta, sakam bhakti, where one does some service for the Lord, one is ready to give some reward, some fruits to the Lord, but one expects appreciation and one expects the fruit. That is sakam karma bhakti. Another person, he comes to the temple and he tells the president, Prabhu, you know, please give me some service. So what service you would like? I want to do cooking. I would like to cook for the devotees. Excellent. Come on a Sunday, 9 o'clock, start cooking. Whatever you want will be made available. So he comes on a Sunday. As soon as he comes on a Sunday, he comes to the president's office and he says, Prabhu, what is this? He says, what happened? The kitchen is so dirty. So he says, so what? Go and wash the pots and clean it up. Come on, I've come here to cook. I've not come here to wash the pots. So he says, okay. So he calls some of the brahmacharis and he says, please go wash the pots. Keep the kitchen prepared for this person. So they go wash the pots and he then starts his cooking. After the cooking, he comes, Prabhu, how was the Sunday feast? So he says, very good. Thank you so much for your services. Do you want any remuneration? Do you want any money? He says, no, sevas. Everything is seva for the Lord. So this is the example of nishkam karma bhakti, where one is not aspiring for the fruits, but one is attached to the work. He will not do any other service. He will not do washing the pots, but he will do cooking because he likes it. But fruits, everything for Krishna. Now another person comes to the temple. He says, Prabhu, I want seva. How much salary you want, Prabhu? No salary, Prabhu, just seva. Okay. What kind of seva you want? Anything. Wash the toilets, broom the temple, anything. You give me anything. Book distribution. It's very good. Take this service and do it. So this is this example of Shuddha Bhakti, where one is neither attached to the service, neither attached to the fruits. This is Shuddha Bhakti. To do whatever has been told. So this is the platform of Shuddha Bhakti. So when one does, one acts on this platform, then one is rightly situated in Bhakti Yoga. Or even if one is not on that platform, one acts on that platform for the pleasure of Krishna, then it's possible to very soon please the Lord and receive His mercy. So in this case, Prabhupada says that when one takes up to bhakti, one never becomes contaminated. One is situated in the position of being the servant of Krishna, and he never deviates from that position. And we can see that in the Krishna consciousness movement, where preaching started off from the West in 1966 to the hippie movement, which was from 1960s to 1970s. A strange coincidence. The hippie movement lasted in America from 1960 to 70. And during that time, Prabhupada went, preached and made devotees. And we see that those people who had completely become agnostics, they had rejected their family, rejected friends, relatives, society, rejected the teachers, the government, everyone. They had left everything, and as if they were living as sages. Prabhupada said, except of one thing, they had not given up illicit sex. They were attached to all sinful habits. Prabhupada went preach to them, and the living example is that they are now strong devotees. We can see in the Krishna conscious movement, so many are going ahead and leading so many others on the path of devotional service. So we see that the process of Krishna consciousness, the process of bhakti yoga actually works. It actually works. Even though we find in the West, there's so much of contamination. I heard that in the universities, they give, in America, universities, they give liquor discount coupons to the students. And as an induction program in universities, they have 1 month freak out program where you can do whatever pleases to you. Absolutely no rules and regulations. Such a degraded, you know. I was just last week I went to Somaya, and in the Somaya had said that one cannot eat meat or drink liquor in the college campus. So we see the difference in the institutions, abroad in America. But still you see that despite such a degraded position where the students are so much contaminated right from birth, they are taking up to devotional service and they are getting transformed. They are not falling down. In Massachusetts, I heard that the government has legalized gay marriages. So this is the extent of degradation. But still we find the process of bhakti is going on very nicely there. So this is the proof. Prabhupada would often use this argument when you would go to the West, that if you claim that materialistic civilization is giving you the solution for all the problems of life, then why are there hippies? This is the proof that materialistic society cannot satisfy the persons. So, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit jatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam iti tatvadaha. He quotes this for saying that kechit kevalaya bhaktya. Kechit means very few, very limited. Manushyanam sahasreshu, he quotes. That out of thousands, one is aspiring for liberation, and out of those thousands, one is aspiring for understanding Krishna. So we see that it's very rare to find people who are interested in devotional service. So it's really glorious to have all these people who are sitting here and practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. Then he says, Anyabhilashata Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. He quotes that what is devotional service when one does not have any other desire apart from pleasing Krishna? No desire for fruitive activities and pure unalloyed devotional service. So these are the things. And Prabhupada writes that how one must be eager for devotional service. How one must be very eager to receive Krishna. There is a pastime in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that how Mahavishnu was also so eager for taking the darshan of Krishna. In the pastime of the 10 sons being kidnapped by the Brahmanas, when 9 sons were kidnapped, the Brahman came to Krishna's assembly hall and criticized all the Kshatriyas for being completely incapable of doing their duty. And at that time, Arjuna made a vow, I will protect your son. Don't worry. 10th son, I will protect. And then the 10th son also disappears. And Arjuna goes and finds all the 3 worlds he could not find, where the son is. Because Mahavishnu had kidnapped the sons. So Arjuna said, okay, I will commit suicide. Since I had taken a vow to give up my life if I cannot find the 10th son. So he tries to enter into fire. And at that time, Krishna comes into the scene. And he says, don't worry, I will tell you where the sun is. I will find the sun for you. So it takes Arjuna to Mahavishnu Lok, to Karanadakashaya Vishnu's abode. And when he goes there, Mahavishnu welcomes him and takes his darshan. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives an explanation as to why Mahavishnu actually stole the sons of the Brahman. He gives an explanation because Mahavishnu was very eager to take darshan of Krishna. So eagerness is required. Now some may say, okay, then why didn't he come to Dwarka to personally take darshan of Krishna? Why did he have to steal the sons of the Brahman? Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that it is not possible to take darshan of Krishna without his permission. Shuddha Bhakti and his darshan are exclusively given by Krishna only to one he selects. Therefore, even Mahavishnu could not take darshan of Krishna. So then the next question comes, okay, why did Mahavishnu personally come to Dwarka? Why couldn't he send some associates? So Acharya explained that it is not possible in the presence of Krishna to give trouble to any of his devotees. So Mahavishnu only had to take up the task. So he came personally. Another reason is that, okay, that means Krishna ultimately gave him darshan. That means Mahavishnu forced Krishna to give him darshan. No. Krishna did not go to Mahavishnu Lok to give darshan to Mahavishnu. He went there to actually fulfill the promise of his devotee Arjuna. Because Arjuna had vowed to give up his life. To protect his devotee, Krishna went to the Mahavishnu Lok. Now another big question arises. Krishna is called as Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahman Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishna, Govindaya Namo Namaha. That the Lord is supposed to be the protector of the devotees. How come he gave trouble to the Brahman by stealing his son? So the answer is that Mahavishnu did not mind giving trouble to even the Brahman in order to take darshan of Krishna. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Says that eagerness to achieve devotional service or bhakti yoga is very, very essential, an essential principle to advance in Krishna consciousness. So there are various other points in this. There's a huge purport, so we can go on and on. Since we are running short of time, I will stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.